Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
Just under half of the Daily Dozen questions in Question Time were addressed to the Prime Minister, all asking him the same thing.
To the Prime Minister, does he stand by his statement that...
My question is to the Prime Minister. Does he stand by his statement, quotes...
My question is to the Prime Minister and asks, does he stand by his statement on breakfast yesterday...
My question to the Prime Minister, does he stand by his statement that, quote...
My question is to the Prime Minister... Does he stand by his statement on...
With the Prime Minister in Christchurch, the task of answering the opposition's questions was delegated to various ministers who all gave the same answer.
Mr Speaker, on behalf of the Prime Minister, yes.
On behalf of the Prime Minister, Mr Speaker, yes. On behalf of the Prime Minister, Mr Speaker, yes.
Mr Speaker, on behalf of the Prime Minister, yes.
On behalf of the Prime Minister, Mr Speaker, yes.
Stephen Joyce, the mystery voice. He answered three of the questions, of which that last one was from Labour's Darian Fenton.
My question is to the Prime Minister. Does he stand by his statement on proposed Labour law changes, quote, we are not talking dramatic changes, close quote?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce on behalf of the Prime Minister.
On behalf of the Prime Minister, Mr Speaker, yes.
Supplementary. Darian Fenton. Thank you very much, Mr Speaker. To the Prime Minister, will he rule out reintroducing a youth minimum wage rate? And if not, why does he think a wage cut wouldn't be a dramatic change for hard-working young people?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Mr Speaker, on behalf of the Prime Minister, no decisions have been made as to what the package will be at this point, and there have been no announcements, so the member will just have to wait and see.
Stephen Joyce also had the job of standing by his Prime Minister's statements on the potential for Sky City to increase its gambling facilities in return for building a big convention centre in Auckland.
This is a very big opportunity for New Zealand. The New Zealand International Convention Centre will be a major boost to the New Zealand economy, attracting 33,000 convention delegates and pumping an additional $90 million in international visitor spending into the economy each year. Once completed, it will employ around 800 people and it will employ around 1,000 people during construction. I think those are very good things for New Zealand.
Mr Joyce was then required to justify encouraging that opportunity, but not others, by Labour's Chris Hipkins.
How can his government justify changing tax, labour and gambling laws to benefit the film and gambling industries when it won't lift a finger to save jobs at the railway workshop, won't lift a finger to save TVNZ jobs at Avalon, won't lift a finger to save jobs at IRL and Lower Hutt? Or is it the only the large corporates whose profits largely go offshore that this government are interested in helping?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Mr Speaker, no, that is not the case. The government is on behalf of the Prime Minister, the government is involved in encouraging all sorts of new economic development, and that's what it's seeking to do. But as the Prime Minister said in answer to a previous question, that it is not the role of governments to fix in time the workforces of companies around the country.
Stephen Joyce also faced questions from the Greens' Sue Kedgley.
How many meetings has the Prime Minister or his ministers, such as Minister Joyce, had with Sky City representatives or their lobbyist Mark Unsworth to discuss the proposed law changes to the Gambling Act?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Mr Speaker, on behalf of the Prime Minister, I can't answer that question except with regard to the Minister of Transport, which I can confirm he has had no meetings with Sky City.
Ms Kesley then had this request to make.
Yes, I seek leave to table my lobbying disclosure bill, which would require lobbyists to disclose how many meetings they have with ministers or MPs to discuss changes that they're seeking
leave
to legislation.
Leave us sort of table this document. Is there any objection? There is objection.
Sue Kesley will just have to wait and see if her bill is drawn from the next member's ballot, but there hasn't been one of those since December. Question Time was followed by the second reading of the government's bill establishing an ultra-fast broadband network, drawing this observation from the ACT Party's Roger Douglas.
Under this bill, the taxpayer will end up spending $1.5 billion on a gamble. I cannot condone such reckless spending, nor can Heather Roy. The remaining ACT members believe that this was a fundamental election promise made by our coalition partners and will therefore vote for it. This bill is a gamble because we simply do not know if it will bring any benefit whatsoever to New Zealand.
ACT Party MP Roger Douglas. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.